Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. Our first time visitor, you're very welcome. Yes, right here is our pastor, and yes, I assist him. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to pray with us today. Yes, let us really appreciate our worship team for that. That was good, and I think unrehearsed, if I'm not mistaken, yeah? Yes, we didn't have our rehearsals, but we thank God for bringing us here. Hallelujah. Amen. I really thank God for Jade's testimony. You know, when the devil says, what was the devil telling you? He doesn't want people who work. And indeed, it's true that the devil doesn't really want like people who work. He doesn't want us to work because working honors God and it brings us to a point. It's an expression of worship and reverence and honor to God. Yeah. So when we take our work seriously. So that testimony has blessed me so much. Hallelujah. And like you heard from my husband, who is leading service today, that God is at work in our family. And it's indeed very, very true. God is indeed at work in our family. And I thank God for that. I thank God that as a church, we are blossoming. Hallelujah. We are in that period. The jacaranda tree must blossom. Glory to God. That jacaranda tree is you. You people, you must blossom. Glory to God. And we're in this ninth year, and I'm looking forward to the great and mighty things that God is doing for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we're going to talk about something that I've preached about before. Maybe you've heard a lot about it from Pastor, but here is my version. Hallelujah. Here is my version, of course, from what I learned from Pastor. This is my version, and I believe that I'm also, more than anything else, I'm going to give you the biblical version of today, what I'm going to talk about, of our topic. Amen? Yes, so today I felt God leading me to talk about the God who rewards. Hallelujah. The God who rewards. Our God is a God who rewards. Your God, my God, the God we worship and sing to today, delights in giving his children good things. He delights in rewarding his children. God is not a thief. Thieves are the people who don't. But God is not like that. When you do work, when you do a good job, God rewards you. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Two things stand out in this verse. Many things stand out, but okay, three things. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So faith pleases the Lord. Number two, that when we come before God, we must believe that he is real, that he exists, he is real. Then number three, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is the criteria for us when we come before God. To worship, to do anything, you must have these three things lined up. They must be sorted in your prayer life or in your worship time. At any one point you go before God, these three things have to be sorted. You have to have faith. You have to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So today we're talking about the God who rewards. Our God who rewards. First of all, as I was thinking about this verse, I was like, God, you are a rewarder, but who are those? You don't say that you reward all, but who are those? In other versions, it says he rewards them. Who is them? Who is those? So I was interested, who are the people that you reward? If you are a rewarder of those, who can I be among the those? Glory to God. Can you be among the them? Glory to God. Those words mean something different in our season, in our era, yeah? They, them, what? But just going back to how we used to use these pronouns, them, those, simply means a group of people, an exclusive group of people, those. So who are those that God rewards? We shall talk about that later. But let's define what a reward is. A reward is a thing given in recognition of service, effort, or achievement. In a certain way, a reward is different from a gift. In a sense that for a gift, sometimes you don't have to work for it. Someone thinks about it, the giver, it's the giver's prerogative. You have nothing sometimes to do with that gift. It is my prerogative if I want to gift someone with a plane. If I want to gift someone with flowers, it is my right. I exercise it within my right to give this person that gift. So in a way, you don't have to really work for gifts. Some gifts, you have to work for them. But in a broad sense, gifts are generally not worked for. Glory to God. But rewards, a reward you have, there is an aspect of the receiver. There is something you have to do. You have to be worthy of that reward. Glory to God. You have to be worthy to receive that thing that you're being given. Glory to God. Amen. So why we can, you know, we call God many things. He's Alpha, He's Omega, He's what. But now you see from this verse, He is saying He is also a rewarder. So you can say the God who rewards. Glory to God. He rewards. And in LAT, we have seen that over time, that actually God rewards. And in my thinking, even as I was preparing, I started to think about what causes God to reward us? What are those things that draw God to a point of rewarding us? Because we have said, remember that rewards, you qualify for a reward. You must qualify for it. That means that you have a part to play in that one. Gifts, they are freely given. You are not rewarded with salvation. You were gifted salvation. Glory to God. So you are not rewarded. So in a sense, like using many words, you must qualify for that reward. And as human beings, we work with incentives and motivation. Your salary, when you get a job and you're given a contract, you read all these things, but I know many people, when they get the contract, they usually read it from the back to front. Yes, from the back to front. Because the back towards the end, it has, after you have done all these things, this is what will be commensurate to that effort. Glory to God. And so, human beings, yeah, work with incentives, with motivation. And that principle is, in a sense, a very strong principle, even in the kingdom of God, that he works with us like that. Hallelujah. Many times, okay, before I go there, if you'd fail to understand the bit about God's reward, or if you, God's reward system, say, or if you fail to understand the principles behind the reward system of God or the way God rewards, you will live a life that is on earth, a life that is not fulfilled. It will be like that person who works every day and they don't get their salary or their wages or any recognition of their effort. So it's possible that you will live nayo jakuba we mulugunya in your heart. Why? And especially for us who believe in the grace of God. You're like, you know, when I had just joined LAT, this is something that as I introduced this topic, Pastor would preach about and he would really emphasize. But I wasn't so keen on going for the reward. Because for me, I was like, I just want to love the Lord. Eh? And I'm like that in many ways. But over time, this is the ninth year, hallelujah. Over time, I started to really like dig into this whole thing of rewards. And there are many times when we'll be going home and we'd have these discussions with my husband. And the question was, where do you draw the line? Because you see, when you work so much, if you're unbalanced, like again I said, in your understanding of how God rewards and the principles behind it, you'll end up chasing that. And Joan, who is a well-meaning child of God, didn't want to be caught up, only chasing the blessing, the reward, or the gift from God. So I would always fear, or I would find myself caught up in, why, like, I don't want to, God, I want to serve you, but I don't want this whole thing to, you know, the reward, your rewarding system to be my primary, the thing that drives me primarily to serve you. Yeah. So, but over time, like I said, I have gained a lot more understanding. Amen. It has been, for us, I think it is 8 years in LAT. And yes, we've made nine, but for the Isoke family, it's 8 years. And I have grown in the way I understand and look at rewards. Hallelujah. In many ways, I would always think about, maybe because of my background in salvation, I would always think about, I would find it safe for me to think about rewards in eternity than rewards here on earth, okay? But as time went on, I started to get a balanced view of things, and that is what I'm here to share with you today. And like I said, I've shared about rewards before, okay? Rewards of Christianity. But it has, my revelation has grown. I believe I'm at a different point in my Christianity concerning this issue, and that's why I come back to you with it. Amen? Amen. When we understand how God rewards, we live a more predictable life. Just take an example of your contract, okay? You have a contract, and the contract spells out for you the things that you will do from Monday to Friday or for your time at office. It's, in a way, it brings predictability to the way you live your life as a worker. Glory to God. Because you know that you have to go to work on Monday and serve this number of hours, do X, Y, Z, and go back home. Okay? And then at the end of the month, you expect a payment. Now, there are also things that come within the contract. For example, insurance for some people, tax payments. All those things provide a sense of, like, they put a sense of predictability in your work life. The reward system with God, it is the same. When you're a Christian, what helps your life to be predictable is those things that you know that if I do X, Y, Z, this is how I will be rewarded. Glory to God. Amen? Are we together? If you know that, okay, God wants me to do X, this, and this, and this is the result of this cause effect, this is the effect of what I will do, then your Christianity becomes more predictable. If you remove that, then it means that you wake up in the morning, no tomanya, like, people start to say, in the name of kama chanja gaza sichimanyi, yeah? Or, like, there is a sense of, you don't know where you're heading, you're doing things, but you just, there is no end to it. I've listened to people who have 8-to-5 jobs, and they keep saying that, but the contract wasn't clear. Like, my jurisdiction is not what? Clear. And as a Christian, you know that you're not meant to do everything in the Bible. Glory to God. You're not meant, when you read Jesus wept, you're not Jesus, you're not going to weep. When you see so and so died, you cannot do everything in the Bible. Okay? So, in a way, when you know that there is a God who rewards, then it causes you to seek him. So what am I supposed to do? Glory to God. In LAT, one of the things we talk about is, okay, the thing we always talk about is that God is really faithful. One thing that has become very clear to me in my Christian walk is that your reward is directly connected to your calling, what God has called you to do. And this is why it is unbefitting for a Christian to covet another Christian's reward. Because God hasn't called you to do the same thing. Hallelujah. LAT, God hasn't called you to do the same thing as another church. Or even at your place of work. You haven't been called to do exactly the same thing as the other person. Hallelujah. So you cannot, if I find myself in a place where I'm coveting, I'm like, when I want to be like, say, Lydia. Yeah, let me use Lydia, the safe person to go to. Lydia. but I don't have an 8-to-5 job. I am not in Nidia's family. I don't have, you know, so we have been called to do different things. So the rewards that I will see, the external rewards I will see unto Lydia cannot make me covet them because we are not in the same place. She has 4 children. I have 3. That has also its other implications, you know, even financially. So we don't, your rewards cannot, they will look like another person's, but remember that they are tied to your calling. If you've been called to be an apostle, those rewards are different. If you've been called to be whatever you have been called to do, you know that your reward is different from another person's. And so that should deal with the issue of coveting, feeling like, you know, you're not doing enough, feeling like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And also in ministry, I have realized that every time your contract, your jurisdiction is not clear, that ministry will not survive. That is why I am so keen on us always praying for unity in purpose as LAT. Because if that is not clear, then even the rewards at the end will not be clear. We cannot work together, okay? But now, when you understand what you are supposed to do as a church, then it will be, your rewards will be very clear, and you move together, first of all, but also your rewards will be very clear. Amen? God makes it clear to you. Hallelujah. Revelations 22:12. This is talking about really what God, what Jesus said about this reward, the whole reward system. This is Jesus speaking in Revelations, and he says that, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. Jesus is saying that he will come back, but his reward is with him, to give everyone according to the work they have done. This simply means that actually God, there is a part where God rewards us. I just brought up this for us to just know, or to further, like, let it be cemented in your heart that even if, yes, we are for grace, what, all those, yeah, the grace of God, me, I will serve him, I'll love him, there is a part where God comes and he's like, you know what, I'm going to reward you. That essentially means that there is assessment of how you have, because remember we said that a reward, you have to qualify for the reward, okay? So that essentially means that tests will come. Assessments have to be carried out. Hallelujah. I see from our children's school, they are rewarded at the end of the term, as most children are anyway who are in school. They are rewarded. All sorts of rewards. All sorts of rewards are given to children. The best in class, the best character, the best one. Like, there are all kinds of rewards. Smartness award, depending on the school. Now, until some time back, there is a certain category of reward that wasn't there in our children's school. And they introduced it. And that reward category was most improved category. The child who has improved the most would be rewarded. Hallelujah. And that called for a change of philosophy for me, because I grew up in a time where, oh man, for us at school, rewards, acknowledgement, acknowledgement was only in the academic area. So there would actually, we had 2 categories, academic giants and academic dwarfs. Academic giants were the first 5 students in the class. Academic dwarfs, for the ones who are here, Eden, academic dwarfs were the last 5 students. And our reward system was so interesting, let me call it that way, because we used to do monthly exams. So after the end of every month, we'd go to the assembly and they would read out those 2 categories only. And we were required to make lines according to the categories. So usually, of course, now this is like, say, let me say, S1. S1, there was a special line for the giants, the 5 giants, okay? Then next to that line were the 5 dwarfs. Then the rest of you, yeah? And you see, if you've been through school, you know that just by misfiring, you can end up, and I would see that a lot. You would see a giant switch to the dwarf line. In the next month, this is a child who has, you know, topped that class, maybe got 98, wow, you know. And the next month, maybe because they were sick. And you see, our system didn't put all those things into consideration. Maybe because they were sick, maybe they had an issue, maybe they misfired, or maybe they just didn't feel like doing the monthly exams for. Remember, our term was like 3-4 months. So maybe this child is like, maybe there's, for some reason, you know how children think, they're like, this month, they sign out of doing exams. And then they fail. Then they're like, but I'm going to redeem myself in the third month. Never we even have the fourth month. So at the end of the term, it would be that they would compute your scores for month 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they come up with an average. Okay? Now, that reward system worked on, it was really digilos, eh? if you cross over, and in many ways it was better for you to be in Kayola than ever even testing the line for the giants, because people in Kayola will never forgive you. They will be like, hey, as in, and if you're a dwarf, Bambi, yeah, you will not even speak. It was you people, eh? It's just worked on my psyche. I would always fear, because the stigma that came with, do you know what it means to make a line for a whole month because you are an academic dwarf? And you just pray and you wait for the month to end so that someone takes over your place. Yeah? Thankfully, I was never in, I think it was only once when I was in the giants line. I never went to the dwarf section, but having tested the giants and the dwarf section, and the Kayola, I made up my mind. I'm like, let me just be in Kayola. Yeah? Because in Kayola, there is definitely one more word. But when you were an academic dwarf, it was so, so bad. And should you cross over? Now there are those children, Bambi, who are always in the dwarf line. But let me tell you something about those things, that kind of assessment. Being an academic, because our marks were set so high, in some months you'd find that actually the children who are in that dwarf line are not necessarily, they performed, they got 60, 70. You would actually find that the dwarf line has people who got like 80s. Do you understand? Like in that month, things were not so difficult. And you know, maybe there were many students who scored highly. So it's possible, it was many times possible, that the children who are in this dwarf line, by the average standard, they are brilliant children. They actually had good scores. But when you're in a system where it is you're either giant or dwarf, just know. Mukamanga ya atasa. Yeah? Every time, you'll be like, wanange God, I don't want to. Who are the dwarfs? Who are the giants? Eh? So I decided, let me just be in what? In Kayola. Yeah? But that was the system then. Now, for my children's school, going back to the other category, the most improved, hallelujah. Some parents were like, chichecho, eh? And I was among the parents. I'm like, what is their most improved? What? Eh? What is most improved? What do they want? And until the educationist sat us down and said, you know, you actually have to acknowledge the students who are what? Who are improving, who are putting in their effort. They are there. They need to be categorized. Not necessarily the ones who finish their paces and who finish their work and they get 100%. But there are these ones. Since it's an individualized system of learning, there are these ones who work. And you see Kali, yeah? Last time, Yali were no, but now they have made strides. And the educationists wanted to appreciate and acknowledge that effort. Glory to God. And so you see a child marching up there, you know, and the parents are there, yay! Most improved! Yeah? And the child goes, yeah? And hey, man, nowadays there are all sorts of character award. And I'm like, but the whole point is acknowledging good things. Glory to God. Acknowledging outstanding things. And God also is like that, by the way. When you're outstanding, he'll acknowledge you. Hallelujah. Likewise, when you're not doing much, he'll also acknowledge you. But God also will acknowledge when you have improved, most improved. Yeah? He'll also acknowledge you. Glory to God. And also he will acknowledge lukewarm people who are always in Kayola. Bo, it is the same mark. He will say, but you, you're not growing. You're just here. Yeah? God also acknowledged. He tells those people, glory to God. And we shall find out. Hallelujah. Let us look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 23 to 26. This is a very good story, popular, but I wanted to draw something out of here. Then, this is the time when David was going to fight Goliath. Then as he talked, this is David, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes. 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Glory to God. David had made up his mind to fight Goliath. Okay? But he's like, I might die. Yeah? But I want to know if the cause I'm going to, what is the reward? Glory to God. He's like, we're not going to walk far. And this is how we should look at Christianity also. This is a very serious thing. What is in it for me? It is okay for you to actually ask. So before David, young David, imagine, sometimes I'm like, but what was the age of the daughter of the king? Yeah, supposing she was. Anyway, maybe the daughter, the king had many daughters. So if David was 40, they'll find him a 40-year-old. If he was 20, maybe if David was like 14, they would find him a 14-year-old and say, you know what, let us keep you until the appropriate time. I don't know. But you see, there was a promise that there would be great rewards, great riches, wealth, all right? Then there will be a daughter. For you sorted, talking that dating, praying to God for God's will, what? Then imagine marrying the king's daughter. Even if you're a pauper, even if you are broke, that wedding is catered for. You just have to show up. At this time, by the Israel was so desperate. Israel was so desperate that this is royalty. They have to marry into if it was a papa who had come up and challenged Goliath, and again, they know you. It as in it was desperate, okay? So imagine you're there, you're 14, but you're like me. These blue cheeks are, and you see the king's daughter in all her glory can never be ugly. Glory to God. Yes, a king's daughter, Taba Mubi, it's like a Mugole. You can never, even if over there are many, 100 beautiful guests, yeah? Mugole yaba singa. Glory to God. Amen. For us women, when you go to other people's weddings, have that at the back of your mind. So there is no need to outdo yourself, but dress how big you're not to end up beating a Mugole. So the Mugole cannot be in your category. Try Joan, but not the Mugole. Glory to God. Another thing was exemption from taxes. Imagine, your family is also sorted. Glory to God. Yes. Sometimes I'm like, but we need these kinds of what? of motivation and incentives to do things. Like URA comes and says, for the best taxpayers, this will be, we shall exempt you and your family. We shall exempt you, your whole family from taxes. You know what that would mean? That is prosperity. For our system here, where we pay a lot in taxes, imagine you're there and they say, you know, for you when you go, by the way, even if you don't have an 8-to-5 job, you know that you're paying taxes somewhere on your goods. When you go to process your driving permit, there is a tax to that. Everything is taxed. So tax exemption is a very big thing. Imagine, and for you, you're just there, like, you go and the price at which you buy your umbrella is not the same price at which someone else buys theirs. For you, if the umbrella is 8,000, for you it goes for 4K. That is great, isn't it? You go to buy fuel, yeah? And there is no tax. You go to buy a car, and there is no tax, they say, for you. Cleared. So putting it in context, this was a great reward. Just David is like, guys, Mpozi, what is in it? He didn't even ask, because he knew this, that Philistine had challenged them day in, day out. So he was like, but what is in it for me? Kubanga mulimu kufa. Glory to God. I think he could have died. Hallelujah. But at that point, it's like, I need to know what is in it for me. Sometimes I'm like, if the incentive wasn't there, would David have fought Goliath? Mazima, let's just be honest. Do you think David would have fought Goliath? I don't know. Okay? But I just thought about it. I'm like, there is a reason as to why he asked. Okay? Let's go to Exodus 1:19-21. And we shall see, now that is the king rewarding a human being. Now let us see how God rewarded some people here. This is a very nice text for me. It really, really ministers to me every time I read it. So this is a time when the babies in Egypt, for the Hebrews, were being killed. And so verse 19 says, and the midwives say to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. You know, the Pharaoh had told the Hebrew midwives to kill the baby boys that were being born at that time. And they were not doing it. And so now it sparked this conversation. It sparked this text and said, the midwives say to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. They were not killing the babies as Pharaoh had told them to do so. We all know that story. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Glory to God. Here we see that these midwives risked a lot for their lives. You see, not doing what Pharaoh was saying essentially meant that they were actually risking being thrown into jail. Probably they were even risking, because they were going, they could be held in contempt of the Pharaoh's order. Okay, they could be killed as well. This was a very turbulent time for the Hebrews. But you see, these midwives said, no, we are not going to do this. We fear God. And God saw that. It doesn't say anywhere that God told them not to do it. But they said, you know what? We fear God. We are finished. And God acknowledges that. And he says, and it was so because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Another version said he settled them in their own homes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That was a reward for something they had done in honor of God. Hallelujah. So we see, again, we've seen several times in Scripture how God rewards people. Mordecai, yeah, was one of those people who spoke up about, he whistleblew about a treason that was going to take place. And at that time, the reward didn't come immediately. But one day, the king rewarded him. You know the story. Okay? That reward, please, I want you to keep that in your mind. That reward didn't come immediately. Mordecai whistle blew on that treason. But a time came, an appointed time by God, when he said, I'm waiting for the right time to reward you. And when God rewarded him at that time, Mordecai was never the same. Hallelujah. If you were Mordecai, you'd be like, glory to God. Let's go to Matthew 19:27-30. You people, this reward thing is so serious to God. So, Peter, the disciples, 12 disciples, moving with the Lord. Hallelujah. They asked him the same question. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. What shall we have?" Eh? Peter is like, "Jesus, please. Eh? First of all, you're following someone who is ordinary. But even with an ordinary person, if you have esteemed them that highly." Peter asked, "But Jesus, first be easy. First tell us." Because at that point, there was nothing in the physical. You see, by the time Peter asked for a reward, I want you to know that there was nothing in the physical that showed he was rewarding them. There was nothing. They were doing, like, yeah, ministry with him, but there was really nothing in the physical for Peter to say, "Now we are rich. Now we are what?" Remember, thus far, they're working in the ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is nothing about them in terms of wealth, the things that we know are rewardable with, yeah? Wealth, exemption from taxes, what? Like, there's nothing. Like, man, they even had to pay their taxes, yeah? If there was a debt, they had to pay the debt. There's nothing like exemption from that. Glory to God. And so Peter is like, "But Jesus, we have left everything. Sincerely, what is there for us?" Ugenda, like, that is the part of the contract where you're like, "Do you show me at the end? Because now we have done everything, so what is at the end for us?" And now here is what Jesus says. So Jesus said to them, he didn't say, you should be spiritual, more spiritual than this. No. He doesn't rebuke him. But instead he clarifies it to him and says, so Jesus said to them, assuredly means for a truth. "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Okay, now he's telling them the compensation package. "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or child, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be the last, and the last shall be the first." Okay? So Jesus clarifies and he says, you know, he doesn't rebuke him. So, I dare you, Eleti, go to God and ask, what is in it for you? Yeah? Go and ask, what is in it for you? In 2018, 6th September, in a prayer meeting, pastor stood up. That time we used to be so many, let me tell you, Esther. We used to be many, more than this. And pastor stood up and gave us a scripture reference in Acts. I think Acts 14, 17, something of that sort. And he told us, because that part of the portion I paraphrase, it says, and he left them without, he couldn't live without a witness. So he gave them fruitful seasons and seasons of abundance. So pastor was led to say, to ask us to go before God and ask him how he's going to reward us. Alas, I said, what? This man is telling me to go before God and ask. Do you know what it means to go to your boss and say, "Ugenda kunsasula di atotia"? Eh? If you cannot ask that of your boss now, eh? Just imagine, for me, the first time, my ears tingled. I'm like, I cannot ask God. But pastor was like, "Yeah, you ask him." What? So that the first, it was one of those days when I'd really gone into this whole message of rewards. Eh? So, pastor's like, "You ask God, ask." Ah. I said, okay. Now for me, the way I approached it was this. Chinechintu pastor, oh no, pastor, we are yogera ko. Was it inspired of you or what? So I went to God, and you guys, I did a 3-day fast, asking God to really confirm if pastor had heard from God. And indeed, if he had heard from God, he should tell me. Why? Because I fear to approach God, like, you know, the way pastor would just say, "No, just go and ask God, just go and ask God." So 3 days I took off time, prayed and fasted. Ah! And I was asking God, "How you tell me this message this pastor said? I want to know. And if indeed it's true," I also left call, you know, a disclaimer before God. "But also if it is true, you tell me if you're going to, how you're going to reward me." And on the third day of my fast, I got a dream. And in the dream, God was telling me exactly how he is going to reward me. Hallelujah. But remember, I had just joined LAT. Amen. So God tells me, shows me the end. I think, yeah, it was 2018. So we're like 3 years into LAT. So I'm like, now, because I joined LAT in 2015, so now it was 2018. So I'm like, So I thought at that time that the reward was going to come. But like I said, the reward, you must qualify for it. Hallelujah. I didn't know. God was like, I've just shown you the end. Now start. Turn the kakati. Glory to God. And I have been working for that reward. Amen. Hallelujah. I have been working for, because it's very clear. Hallelujah. So from that time, I'm like, God, this whole thing of reward is really, really serious. So let's go to 2 Timothy 4:7-8. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, yes. Paul the apostle says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now here he's telling, I have fought the good fight. That's number one. I have finished the race. Number two, I have kept the faith. Number three, and finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also those who have loved his appearing. Even Paul at the end is like, you guys, Mbasome says, you're now, but now, here is my what? Here is my reward that is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Paul, that great apostle, even him, you would think, man, you're too spiritual. Don't be a reward so could be taken while be on the Lord. He's like, I have done my what? My part. And he articulates what he did. In every appraisal, you must be able to articulate what you did. Yes, for people who do appraisals, why should you qualify? Paul knew his things. He said, I have fought the good fight. And Yaitalimba, that man fought, okay? I have finished the race, and he ran the race, and he kept the faith. Now towards, he's like, this is now what I am looking out for. Hallelujah. So it is good. Rewards are actually good. Rewards are good, and we must look forward to them. But this shouldn't be, and I tell you, this shouldn't be the primary reason why we seek the Lord. We should seek God, and that is where I think I had to get a balance when I had just joined LAT. And I know that a time has passed, and now there are many people who have joined us, and also the children have grown, so I feel like I'm preaching a new sermon. Glory to God. Yes, a time has passed. Tunkuze. Now I have this thing in the right perspective. You should never, never seek God for the reward. You should seek him because you love him. But you also must look forward to that reward. You're a human being. You're not reinventing the wheel. Human beings work with incentives and motivation. If a human being can motivate another, what about your God? I have given you the scriptures showing that God is a rewarder. He does not look down on it. Jesus Christ didn't look down on it. So even you should look forward. You should have something that you're looking forward to. Amen? The rewards. Of course, there are rewards on earth and there are rewards in eternity. All right? There are rewards in heaven. Those two things are different, but it's all rewards. Hallelujah. Amen? And we should look for, at the end of the day, I learned that the eternal rewards are much more, looking forward to the eternal rewards is much more important. But the rewards on earth help you, they incentivize you to actually do more work. Because for you to live long enough to see the eternal rewards, you must have actually physical rewards on earth. Otherwise, on earth. You may not reach your end. Because man, if just imagine going through your entire salvation without ever being rewarded by God. You will deny the faith. You will go back. And you say, if you don't understand that God rewards, you will easily compromise. If you don't take this and you take it wholeheartedly, you will find yourself easily compromising, falling into sin. Why? Because you're looking for ways to, because you're not looking forward to acknowledgement from God, so you find yourself cutting corners, if you're, you know, if God has said, I'm going to give you a car, or I'm going to give you a husband, a wife, or children, whatever, whatever God has promised you, there is an alternative route. So if you don't understand and have your own revelation that God actually rewards and is going to reward you, and you believe it for a fact, it becomes so difficult to stand during suffering or temptation. Let me tell you, there are times when just this, what I'm preaching about today, has helped me stand in suffering and in temptation. It's the only thing, Chendiko, because the reward is not coming. I'm like Mordecai, the reward is not instant. You have to work, But now if I'm not looking forward to God rewarding me, then the devil would come and say, no, Kati, you can do this. Kati, kona, here, kola, woti, sudi, abantu, like this, kola, For us who are in ministry, lie to people, what have. But if God has said that jacaranda tree must blossom, you get to a point where that alone establishes in your faith. You're like, we have to blossom. We are not going to lie to people. We have to what? To blossom. Glory to God. Because there is that reward is coming and you look forward to it. When all else doesn't make sense to you, not ever kubulokole, you're like, I know that there is a crown there in heaven for me. You know, living a life of holiness, for example, is a very difficult thing. Righteousness, to the flesh, of course. But a time comes when you just look and you say, you know what? Because of what? For the joy that is before me, Christ Jesus. For the joy of that reward. Let me stand firm. My reward is coming. Hallelujah. So get this and get it, be established in it that your reward is coming. And it also gives you a sense of peace and it removes that yoke of, you know, you have to work for finding alternative ways. The world is coming at you. You haven't had a job for a long time, but God has promised you a job. You're doing everything you can. And someone says, you come and you work here. You just come, And you know that that thing is not of God. What will keep you standing is like, my reward will come. God was going to reward me. Can sigale wendi. Let me wait for that day when he rewards me. Glory to God. Amen. So, going back to Hebrews 11:6, it says he rewards those who diligently seek him. So, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, what is the basis for God's reward of those? First of all, those are people who are, first, for you to qualify to be rewarded by God, you must be born again. That is pre-qualification. I don't know what I can call it, but you must be born again. And then you qualify now to be in the category of those. That's the first qualification. But it doesn't end there. He says, those who diligently seek him. Generally, I'm going to talk about just three things that I have felt that are almost in everything that God rewards, whether on earth or in heaven. To me, there are three things. You could have your own list, an exhaustive list, but I'm going to give you three. I can't give you 12. So let me give you three. Everyone say three.
Three.
Yes, just three things. First of all, God rewards diligence. The word is up there. Number two, God rewards us according to our faithfulness. Number three, God rewards us according to our works. Hallelujah. According to our works. Amen. Amen. Diligence. God rewards diligence. What is diligence? I had to look it up. Diligence is careful and persistent work. Careful and persistent work. Going and doing the same thing over and over again, or being tenacious in what God has told you to do. Being persistent. There is nothing that annoys in a team, for example, even us in LAT, we are a team, like the leadership, and someone or one of you is just not persistent or diligent, It sort of like brings down the what? The team effort. You're like, we can't even count on you. And I have seen over the years how that has affected people in ministry, even in LAT here. And some people have had to leave because they just cannot be diligent. And because of that, they are like, you know what? Kangende. Okay? So, concerning diligence, when it's possible for us to be doing the same work, but put in different levels of effort. There are those who put in a lot. There are those who put in little. Ngabo, even in your teams at work, you know the person agenda kumenya, the one who you have to think how to call like her. Who are you going to work with? Then you start to think you're like hakati oyo agenda kundekera all the work, or you are kongola. Yeah, that's the word that's looking for. So even us, by the way, God sees these things. Yeah, God sees these things even at your workplaces. Are you mkongozi or you actually put in your work? You're persistent. You keep showing up. Every day you show up. You're persistent even when you don't have motivation. The other day I learned that there are people who are not minded people. Eh? And then you see there are many things that are happening at people's workplaces that are promoting a very ungodly work ethic. Not like such a philosophy. Me, I'm not a minded person. So someone goes to work on Monday and they're irritable, they just don't do what they're supposed to do because they label themselves as, me, I'm not a minded person. Then there is another one that I got to learn, bare minimum Tuesday. Yeah? Sam knows about that. And I think, Bridget, you must be knowing about bare minimum Tuesday. Millennials, Zenoba, what? Yeah? They promote those things, bare minimum Tuesday, where someone goes to work on Monday. If they are not, imagine you're not a Monday person and you also believe in bare minimum Tuesday. You're supposed to work 5 days a week, yeah? But ogenda kula ena kwezo satu. And I'm not even going to talk about Friday because Friday people log out, okay? So you just imagine there's something called bare minimum what? Tuesday. So where you go to work and you just give bare minimum. Eh? Like even my showing up is work. Yeah? That is, I've heard that before. Bare minimum Tuesday. Uli mulokole. But you're also there promoting, hashtagging bare minimum Tuesday. God doesn't like these things, you people. Tubeba lokole, abatufu. Give your best. Be persistent at work. Yeah? Here it says that, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now you're there, bare minimum Tuesday person. You're not a Monday person. So your week starts on Wednesday. You show up, but God is going to reward you. It will be bare minimum, your gamba. When it comes to rewards, God is going to also be bare minimum reward, I'm telling you. On some days, you'll also log off. Kupanga tokola, you didn't show up for work. You didn't show up for work. Let us not, maybe God is not in the business of cheating people, but you're also not going to cheat him. You're not going to cheat him. You're supposed to do your Bible study. Going back now to things that we label spiritual. Not that say that work is less spiritual, but you understand what I'm saying. You're supposed to do your Bible study. There is just no way. Let me tell you something. There is just no way. You go for to do your Bible study, LAT. Newe back after 20 minutes. And you still expect the same reward from Bible study as someone who goes and they study their whole, 30 minutes, an hour. There's just no way you're going to have the same reward. Even that thing that you're doing is not going to impact you the same way. You went and you slept. There is no way you can do, like, you can compare yourself in terms of rewards to someone who seeks the Lord, prays and fasts, prays in tongues, goes to church. Goliwa no, mze Sunday, manya what? I had that spirit, didn't speak to me. Goliwa, and also you want to be rewarded as a person who is diligent in developing Christian disciplines. There's just no way those two people can be at the same level. Much less if your child doesn't put in effort at work, at school, you don't expect them to get over to be a giant. There's just no way. So if you cannot be cheated in this normal, like what, why would you expect to cheat God in things like that, in spiritual things? Yeah? There are things that I know, we know for sure that what you put in is what you get out. All right? You know that what you put in your body is what will get out of your body. If you put in junk and garbage, that is, you will see it on your body. You will see yourself starting to develop some things in weird, eh? Ladies, you understand, eh? So, junk in, junk out. That's a principle, okay? And it's the same when you're not diligent at work in the things of God. Your reward cannot be the same as someone who is persistent. If it is the same, then God is not a righteous judge. He's not. Because, yeah, he said, he will give us according to our ways. All right? So there is just no way. And remember, at the end of the day, you're cheating yourself. You're the one who will always be... One time I had a preacher saying, okay, or to bully day, that you know there are demons in your family or that are stopping you from prospering. Okay, apart from the demons, what for you, what are you doing? Nothing. Yeah? To saba to kolachi, but you are where you are because demons, eh? So I had a preacher, I think he was telling people to bajewo that kind of behavior, yeah? Yes, so okay, we have tukutula bietuli day. Okay, yes, you have issues. So, but apart from that, so what are you doing? You see it a lot in marriage counseling. Someone comes, says, you see, they are in our lineage, tukutule mizimu, what is missing? This is fighting against my marriage, this is fighting against. Yeah, you like, yeah, nebakubulida all the demons, eh? You're like, okay, njulida, fad the exhaustive list of demons that are against, and spirits which are against your marriage. But talk apart from the spirits. For you, what are you doing? Auntie Mcha Kutula, for you, what are you doing? Are you walking in love? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? But all they stop at is those things. God wants us to be diligent, all right? Jeremiah 29:13. I'm using scriptures we know very well, yeah? And you will seek me and find me. There's a condition. If you search for me with your whole heart, you see, God loves all of us. And he wants to reveal himself to all of us. But he's also not there saying, hey, okay, anyone who wants. No, you have to show that you're serious in some of these things. You have to show that you're seriously seeking me and pursuing me. That is how you will find me. Glory to God. You know, when you've just entered salvation, yeah, seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened for you. But how are you seeking God? Are you really, really persistent in the things of God? Psalms 62:11-12. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. The power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his works. Yes? So what your reward is commensurate to your effort. Glory to God. So let us be diligent at what God has called us to do. You know very well the parable of the sower. He gave some 5 talents, he gave some 2, and he went away. When he came back, he gave the other one 1. When he came back, guess what? He found some had multiplied, 1 hadn't yet multiplied. And you know what he told him? Away from me, you worker of iniquity. As in, it's even a sin. Yeah? So let us be diligent at everything that we do. Whether we want a reward on earth or a reward in heaven. This, to me, I have discovered is a principle that underlies how God rewards diligence. And when you look at it critically, it is not difficult. Parents, let me speak to parents for a minute. You cannot say, yeah, there are some things that are just a law. You cannot say that you're not spending time with your children, that you're not imparting in them godly values, and you expect that that child, when they grow up, they'll not walk away from the word of God. You see, first of all, we are all working against that possibility as parents that when a child grows, they may what? Walk away, yeah? But the Bible says that train a child in the way they should be, that when they have grown up, they still remain with a stamp of God in their heart, even if they choose an evil path. That is the whole point of that scripture. Now, we are all, as parents here in LAT, we are all at that level. Now, much less for you who doesn't even put in that time for your children. Fathers, put in that time for your children. Because already the odds are working against us. So that means that we should even strive the more, glory to God, to do what we have to do, just in case that actually happens, that a child chooses an evil path in life, that the stamp will actually remain there. That seed in them will remain there. They will have that consciousness. Hallelujah. So don't expect... You know, there is a time I had, I think it was Dr. Magara, he has been here before. He was talking about marriage. I think it was something to do with marriage. And he said, marriage is a lot of work. So for the people you see who have good marriages, it is work. So you put in your bare minimum. Bare minimum Tuesday in your marriage. You're not a Monday person. We shall see. The reward will be evident. Yeah? So let us be persistent, let us be diligent, and be persistent at what we are doing. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I hope that I can bring a certain angle and a balance to this, yeah? Paul says that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, there is a part of the grace of God, even when it comes to works and, you know, working, doing things for God, you have a certain grace that has been given to you to do the things that you do. And to do them, you know, when you have a grace for something, that means that probably you do it much easier and more flawlessly than maybe another person doesn't have that grace. For example, let me talk about worship in LAT. There are people here who are gifted. They have the voices and they understand things of worship. So when it comes to worship, you know they are like that. But look at what Paul says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He acknowledges that he had a grace upon his life. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But here is the part. But I labored more abundantly. Even with the grace of God that was upon his life, he still had to put in the work. Glory to God. He had to be diligent. So work with the grace that God has put upon your life. Amen? And God being a righteous judge, because he has graced us differently, he cannot put us like at the same level. He knows ekisa kyakuwadde, yeah? He knows where you come from. Maybe, let me give an example. If you come from, it's not even an excuse, but let me say, you come from a family that doesn't have, okay, let's say a polygamous family, your parents were maybe a broken family, a broken home. It doesn't mean that you'll have a bad marriage, okay? But compare now to someone who had a perfect example of marriage and family and all, you too, when God is judging you, he will not put you at the same pedestal. He expects the same result, but at andikira where it is like you, the ground is not the same, but he expects the same. Why? Because at the end of the day, he gives you the grace. So work with the grace, nature money that is upon your life. Glory to God. Knowing that what he expects out of you is the same. At the end of the day, he will not say, for you, why your family was this? You guys, you were broke. You grew up in London. You grew up in Uganda. When he's judging, he's a righteous judge. He puts all those things, that's what makes him righteous, into consideration. But he gives you a grace. And at that, he will judge you and say, but okay, you grew up in London. You had all these opportunities coming to you. So what did you make of them? Then you who grew up in Uganda, yes, you were in Uganda. You had dusty roads, but I gave you this and this and this. So what have you made of that? Each one of us is graced differently. So work and cooperate with the grace which is upon your life. And that essentially means that even when you feel like you're disadvantaged, or you have started from a disadvantaged ground, yeah, you can still end up well. Glory to God. You can still run your race and finish well. Hallelujah. If you cooperate with the grace that God has given you. Amen? Yes. So let us be cognizant of that and work and labor more abundantly. Amen? Let us labor more abundantly. Let us, and that is called diligence. Hallelujah. Point number two, faithfulness. Galatians 6:9. Being faithful is being loyal, being steadfast. Okay? So Galatians tells us, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It's it's possible for you to work persistently, nenga toli faithful. Ngo mutima guli in other places. Na ye man, when it comes to putting ox energy, you know who knows ox energy? Amani, what? Wanokus church on Sunday, you're the one everywhere, what? But when you're not faithful, it's possible to be those two things. You're putting in the work. You're working so much ox energy. Bagamba, who's going to take chairs down to children's church? Why you carry the chairs? But people cannot, you're not loyal. People cannot depend on you. They're like, oh, you. All about the toilet today. Simanyoba next week. But let us not grow weary in doing good. In due season, we shall reap. Rewards have a season. Like sometimes, yeah? Sometimes you reap immediately, but most times there is a part where you actually wait for the reward to come because you have to prove yourself. You must prove yourself. So there is a time and process of proving yourself that you are worthy of this reward. Hallelujah. So let us be loyal. Let us be faithful. I was reading, it was a very long Bible study about the seven churches in Revelation. Those seven churches, there are things that really stood out for me. That in these churches, Jesus starts by addressing them and saying, I know you. I know your works. I know what you have done. And he tells them, you're like this and this. He tells them how they are. But at the end, what caught my attention was there was a reward for each and every church according to what they were doing. Each church. You go and read it for yourselves. 89th year, mugenda soma your Bibles. Okay? Those seven churches, each one of them, Jesus would say, yes, I know this and this, you're like this. He'll give them a diagnosis, yeah? Or an x-ray of what they are. And then at the end, he says, now, this is what is going to happen to you. This is your reward. For the faithful church of Philadelphia, oh, it was a very beautiful reward. Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You will read it on your own. Amen. And then lastly, works. Works, works, works. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. When it comes to the issue of works, works don't give us a good standing before God. What gives us the right standing before God is actually our acceptance of our belief in Jesus Christ, all right? When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you stand accepted before God. So that is why people who are not born again, but the bakolebintwebirunji, they give, they are kind, they are good to be around, they do all these things, will still end up in hell if they don't accept the Lord Jesus as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So those works that we do, good things, don't give us a righteous stand before God. That we know, Eleti. Praise the Lord. However, works will contribute to your reward system, to your reward. Amen? And concerning works, specifically, you can do all you want to do, but if you don't do it with the right motive, again, your works will be tested and your reward will not be as you think. Here it says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it was revealed, it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's works for what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay? You see, like I said, these works here that we do, ebikolwa. Okay? You can be saved, but you'll get a very little reward. Maxizo zija kuja. And man, you'll be in the line for, you did the paper, but you're in the line for dwarfs. Then there'll be the bakayola. All those people had their own works. Glory to God. So when it comes to the issue of works, it's more than you coming and singing on Sunday. It is more than you showing up at work. It's the motive with which you do what you do. Glory to God. And let me tell you something, people who are single. There is nothing that I have seen in my life, ekwanika, that snitches on you like a marriage. You can do things, you do things, but one day, that motive that you're hiding in your heart will be like the day. Everyone will say, so bulijo kola bote, because this is your motive? I thought your motive is to do X, Y. Let me tell you, you cannot cheat motive. Glory to God. You can hide it, but not for long. Even us in church, even in ministry, you can start, because motive things are things of the heart. So Bambi, as human beings, we are not able to see, because your motive is not written here on the forehead. Yeah? That Obaye want bandabe. You want to be what? Ebaye? Bandabe, banjagale, bakole, ba ba ba. Like you're not written. The motive is not here. Yeah? But let me tell you, after some, and we cannot see it when you come to LAT. You can't see your colleagues' motive at work just by looking at them. But eventually, the motive comes out. It just awaits an appointed time. And they say, chine chintu wa chikulanga, but because of this. Eh? So even as we do things, let us be motivated by the Lord. Let pleasing God. You know, there are good motives, yeah? You know, not every motive is noble. And not every noble motive is necessarily a godly motive. Like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, you can come to church. It's noble to want to serve in church, yeah? But if your motive is wrong, okay, let me explain it this way. Now I want to explain the issue of having a noble motive, but it's not necessarily what the godly one. There are things that God requires you to do. For example, giving. And giving is not bad, but the motive for giving someone should be the godly motive, is really to be a blessing, yeah, to that person. But it's also noble to want to be in that person's good books. So now, if you put being in that person's good books above blessing them, to God, he sees that and he's like, but now you see, for you, your priority list is upside down. You should want to bless someone. Or like, don't want to be, it's okay to want to be, not for us who are married, it's okay to want to be your husband's ba. Andabe, bandabe, banjagale, bangulire, bimuli, ba. It's good to work. But at the end of the day, that shouldn't be for me, my motive to bless my husband. My motive to bless my husband is, first and foremost, it's pleasing unto the Lord. It's a commandment, yeah? So when I have my list the right way, not upside down, then I know, yeah? I know that God, my, like, even when he rewards me, sibuza, but there are people, it's possible for you to be in the same place. I remember when I was working in the bank, there are times when I was on the till, I was a teller. And you see, you enter the bank, you guys, and there are six tellers, all doing the same work. But what is going to distinguish you? Mwena mwamba de bulungi, behind that glass, by the way, mwena mufana bulungi, because it's even what? It tinted a bit there, yeah? You're all ladies, you all look good. You have like number one, number two, number three, it is the same distance from the door to each till. It's not like it's just the same distance, all right? So you show up every day, and you work, and you go back. But at the end of that day, they all assess you to give you what they call a bonus or the 13th check for some banks or a reward. So what should make teller one different from teller two, from teller three? Okay? So it's possible for all of you to be doing the same thing. Your rewards are different. What makes it different? Binemi to be mbagamba, diligence, faithfulness, putting in the extra effort in your work, having the right motive to doing things. I remember those are the things that would make a difference. That even like people would come into the bank and say, for me, I want number 3. And you know, can you imagine, like even old people, they say, I don't want to be served. Now that we had what they call a floor manager, who would go out and start asking people, have you been served? You come here, that line is very long. Like, just manage the traffic on the floor of the bank, yeah? So, in the banking hall. So, I remember there are those others, like when at that point I was in customer experience, so I was customer service manager, and then you'd go and maybe try to tell someone, please, you come, and the person, you know you're pulling someone, they're like, and the saga again, and they come and be talking to all the And so, eventually, we got feedback from the clients that would walk into the bank about specific tellers, and you're like, okay, number 3 has a bad attitude. Number 4 works well, but very slow. And so the clients who are slow, who cannot write their names, they are very patient. So that takes off time. Number 1, a chapa line. Oyagalachi, pa stamp, go, next, So you see, all those things would distinguish the tailors. And also we would vote for the best tailor of the, maybe like a month, and would put them on our wall of fame, all right? So there's those tellers who would always make it on the wall of fame. They were like even personalized by frequent bankers. Don't even touch him, don't even touch her. Just let her stay in the line. And they will wait patiently. They will wait patiently. Because that teller is excellent at something. Glory to God. Sometime back, talking about working and working with excellence, your works. I hope you know that God deserves the best. And he wants the best. Hallelujah. That was a great yes, L.A.T. Yes, hallelujah. This is why the engine is doing well. Amen. So something that Sam told me. About 2 weeks ago, he went for a funeral service at Watoto. Watoto Boyogere. It's a tent, right? They built now, it's open space, yeah? They built, but I think it's open on the side. When Sam got out of that funeral service, he said, Joan, I wanted to stay there. Yeah? I'm like, why? He told me, Joan, the sound was crisp, yeah? Like, it was excellent. It's like as if they were celebrating a birth. Kumbe, they were what? It was a funeral service. He said, you could hear the sound was nice, yeah? Everything about, and as like her, but Watoto, like God, we need to be like that. Glory to God. We need to be like God. The sound someone can say, but nang, the sound is crisp, yeah? And you see, in Watoto, even then, for them, I think they stayed in a tent. You know, those sometimes, like when you talk to the worship team, they say maybe the room. And I've had the room was about like this. Oh, what? But Watoto, an open tent like this, Nainga's sound is just so good. So Sam told me, Joan Banange, these guys are still at it. They are still at it. It is crisp. Just now, we are talking just the sound, right? So I stopped at that because I didn't want to ask about the sermon, but I'm like, what? Because, you know, anyway, I didn't want to ask about the sermon, but when he told me that Watoto's sound was crisp, I was like, God, I hope that one day someone can say that about our sound, about our worship, that it was crisp. Yes, our worship is good. It is great, and we thank you so much, worship team. But, you know, sometimes you need that, yeah, that crisp sound like Sam described it to me. Amen? Yeah, so let us, in everything that we do in our work, strive for excellence. Don't just do bare things. Don't give God ebintu ebitaliimu. Strive to give him an excellent, like let your works before him be excellent. Okay? You say that even my best, you know, we are not giving. When it comes to giving God our best, we have to remember that God is not a person. It's very possible that for a person, a human being, even your best will never be good enough. You have done everything you can. You have expended your energy. You have done what? Nemut naja na agamba, tebya kutte joan. Someone teya kutte. But you have expended, you've fasted, you've done everything you can. Naja na agamba teya kutte. Message feelings. You know, and you're like, ay, alas, God. But nga for while you were preaching, you were hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Nayenga people in the congregation. I like the sabi uli de sabi feelings. In fact, I don't even like her. There was a guy, there was someone in one of those one church that I used to go to. Bambi, this guy loved the Lord. Yeah? His heart was in the right place, still is. He's now a pastor. He pastors his own church. But every time Bambi, that guy, because he didn't have the charisma that many people wanted, and even he had a small stutter, and even his kazungu was there, for sketching. But he would really get the message across. Now, that guy Bambi, he would minister to particular people. But when he would leave, me and my friends there, when we were still there at campus, they'll be like, but nang, me, I don't even feel that guy. Kubanga, that guy, me has a small feeling. You get the chi? What? And maybe sometimes it's not even the messenger. It is the state of your heart. Yeah? Say, I'm not that guy, what? Then there is another guy, Bambi. He was, at that point, this guy was an assistant pastor. Then there was another guy, yeah? Very charismatic, liked and preferred by most, articulate. An orator. Ngabo jakumacha. Ya kuwa hag na kunywegera. Yet this guy, so you know, he was really like, you know, there are people, let me tell you, we all have different graces. How are you now? What? May I see that with Sam here? When we come in, Sam goes, hello, Esther, how are you? What? Hello, Jed, what? Yeah, Pastor, how are you? Alan, what? Alan, you never hear that early. So ever. To Babatono, yeah? So, Naitama, oh, hello, Lydia, how are you? Yeah, Mark, okay, good to see you. Esther, Rachel, what? Name me when I enter. Bam, I sit. If I'm even, I can remember to, what to greet someone. Oh, but now I'm learning hospitality, hallelujah. So, at least when I'm passing there, and there is someone, hello, how are you? But I'm making a beeline for my what? My seat. And when I sit, most times I sit next to Esther or with Rachel there at the back. Pastor Joan, how are you? Hey, I'm like, I haven't greeted. Hi. Hey. But Sam, for him, the moment he enters, hello, Nabuza, Bantu, what? So we have different graces. So this other guy who was preferred was like Sam, but a notch higher. Very charismatic, not knowing what to say at the right time. What? You're very welcome. You're very, very welcome. What? Sit, have a seat. You look nice, bitchy. Eh. So every time that guy would preach, yeah, he would get, you know, we would clap, what? Nayoli. Yeah? He would over say his things there. Nabagamba, pray. Fasting, yeah, bede, your prayer meetings are fasting, yeah, zibeda mu. Ida, you're like, wanangi, eh? Yeah, that's it. But now we are doing about how many those days when we used to do prayers, for. Yeah, zilidinge, zozo, now we are going to pray. And you know, there's voice, there's sound, or what? It's just, yeah? But so every Sunday, ngatebi kuata yu. Every Sunday, for my friends, for that guy. But let me tell you, when you look at him now, he has a ministry. God has entrusted him with more. And I believe that he has a great reward. Amen. But imagine he had listened to the conversations that the campusers were having. Yeah? Then they would even say, now, then there was that thing where people would time. They would come late. You see, the service starts at 10. Then they would come towards the end of the service, just in time for praise and worship, and then they would leave. Can you imagine doing such a thing? And you're doing that because you don't want to listen to that preacher. So they would just stay long enough for the praise and worship, then they would go, not listening to the word. The moment they would say, who preached in the first service at 8? That pastor, my friend would say, Joanne, tugende ku 11. Tukwate worship to veyo. That's what they would say. But you know, it's very possible that even your very best, if it's not good for people, and guess what? That is why you should do things for the Lord. Kubanga ya kumanyi ya kutegeda. He is one who has seen what effort you have put through. Like if you are the 8th church in Revelations, you would have a very good report. Glory to God. So do what you have to do. Whether begin the quarter you to someone else, give your best to the Lord. Because, and for you ministers who are here, you see this door, it brings in people at different what? Different tomanyo mutiabademo at night. You don't know if what the state of their heart. So if you come, there is even someone, I think in LAT, they left, so I can say this. Whenever the worship team would laugh, this girl would get annoyed. See, they were always there laughing when the pastor is preaching. Because for her, right from the start, Emmy Taff, pastor cracks a joke. I'm not saying that you laugh at every joke, but you understand, like, it's like as if yalimwe bilungo Lydia, eh? You know those bilungo, Zebika were like, she just come, you just see her smiling at the end of, hello, hello, and sweet in her hand she goes. And then one time she came and she gave me feedback. She said, Joanne, I want you to talk to the worship team. I've been sent to talk to the worship team about many things, by the way. But they're talking, kusekanga, pastor is preaching. I looked at her. I'm like, go be gambire, because for me, I can't express that. And I don't even see it, yeah? I'm like, pagambe, it's not spiritual. Eh? That's what she said. Don't worry, she left. And so I never got to tell. And most of you were not even here then. So it's possible that even your very best, that's why in LAT, do things for the Lord, not for human beings. Omuntu akuteeka mukabi. Someone can make you even chill serving the Lord. Because you heard someone's whatever and say, me, I don't want this. Me, I don't want, you know. You hear that man, that thing. Eh? Let me tell you, that thing can sink you in the ground. So when we are doing things in LAT, let Jesus, if we say that Jesus is truly, truly the center, let him be the center, give him the best, all right? And I'm not talking about not listening to your elders when they say, banange, mwamba debubi, banange, muchuse. Don't say, Jovan told us to do things for the Lord. No, you have to listen to correction. But at the end of the day, your motive should be to please God and not to please people. Hallelujah. Store, that is, God has the standard. God, and many times, let me tell you, God will come. God knows how to encourage you. God will come to you. If you're having issues, God will come to you and he'll say, my friend, you're doing very well. And thank you. Thank you because you did that for me. Thank you. When God sees you struggling like that, he will come to you. Me, he did. Many times he comes and he says, even now I'm preaching and I'm hearing, well done, my good and faithful what? Katimwe, Rachel, by the way, if it's not, what a chikute. Those are what? Those are yours. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:23-25. Yeah? Whatever you do, this is what I've been saying. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord at your workplace. Maybe a bare minimum Tuesday. You are mulokole. Don't be hashtagging. Don't say you're not a Monday person. Don't say it's a Friday. I woke up to 10 a.m. You showed up at 8. I'm saying this because I know my husband employs people. And you see it come through in their attitudes. On Friday, he's like, when this person, he comes late. Oh, wow, what? Now, tunamfuna. So he ends up talking to someone who he knows that will be at office at a certain time. Then there are those who saunter in and they think he hasn't seen them. They come, then they sit. Yeah? But you know you're working for the Lord. Amen? You people who have the 8-to-5 jobs, you work for the Lord, my dear. You work for the Lord. You work for the Lord, Lydia, Bridget, Flora. You work for the Lord. It's a gift. You heard from Jed. The devil doesn't like people who work. You think if she wasn't putting in her best, she would be that she would come to the devil's attention? Maybe he saw something in her work and he just wants to mess her up. Maybe it's the diligence. Maybe it's the excellence. Maybe it's the spirit of I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay faithful to this thing. I don't know. Yeah? But now we're going to work with Julie. That the Lord didn't like the way I was what? I work and he was smothering me, the devil. He was smothering me in my dream. Yeah? So now we're going to work with like that. Glory to God. Then I remember in the bank lastly, when about this thing of works, they would give us bonus. And bonus used to come in the month of April. So, but you see, the bank is fair sometimes. They'll say, okay, you do your own personal assessment. So you fill in a form, which is system generated. And then after you filled in, you send it, and it goes to your boss, your manager. And then the oh, my God, I saw things when I was there. Someone fills in a form, and says the things they have done. And they send it to you, the manager. And alas, they're talking about someone else. You're like this, and you know, you're like this person. If it is, they say, let's say, Isabel. You'll be like, what? She thinks she does this? She thinks you just cannot imagine how someone has appraised, has appraised themselves. But you know that they are the least, you cannot trust them, you can't do what. Even the other day, you had an argument with them, and then now you're the boss, you also put in your what? You also put in your comments. Then after that, that form goes to HR. Then from HR, human resource, that is what they base on to give you a rating. Like, okay, in fact, it will start like this. You assess yourself, rate. So we had rates A to C. So many people would rate themselves B, because B is B, no, Kayola is C, but nobody would give themselves a C. But nobody was bold enough to give them, like many people wouldn't be bold enough to go for A, because A surely means clear-cut excellence. And that one, so many people just do B+, B+. Then there is a chick for her. She would give herself A. Yeah? Now, yeah. Even the way she would give herself that A, you're like, banange. But she was those very vivacious girls, what, boisterous. So anyway, she would give herself A. Then the form comes to me. I give her C. Then it goes to HR. She comes back with B in HR. And that's the final rating. But she'll come back with B, but they would put her on what they call Performance Improvement Plan. Yeah, PIP. So, and now, that rating would determine how much bonus you would get. Now, bonus would start from, it's always started from your salary, times 1, times 2, times 3, all right? So, HR now, at the end of the day, at the end of the month in April, people would go appealing. They would go and appeal. Me, no, this thing. Well, where am I on this thing? Yeah, I do this, I do this, I do this, and this, and this. So there are people who would appeal because they would want more money. Yeah? And there are some of those who would even really, really take you on. But younger, you really see their things are. You're like this one. Eh? If they go to another bank, it will be a blessing to us. Counter 4 is empty, but it's okay for them to go to another bank. If counter 4 is empty, njakuwa saganya here. Ndaba nanga, I have that experience of a teller. So it was so interesting how people would assess themselves for that reward. Eh? And let me tell you, after the PIP would, after that the assessment would come out, the next 1 month, people would be fresh from their, it's like their wounded animals, fresh from their results. And they are putting in the work. But very few will still make it to the next EPO with good results. All right? Why? Because they wouldn't really follow the principles. That means that this one was just working, maybe a swipe day. Why? Because at the end of the day, you know, bankers, so how much is your bonus? We can see from the things you have bought. Oguzeyo, wakamotoka. Like in the bank, it wasn't difficult to know that this one is an A-rater. It was, this one is PIP. About PIP, those ones are always known. Because they are complaining, they are what? Everyone even knows, it's even made public. Then the many who are bees, they kayola. Okay? So, but my point in telling us LAT today, we've come to this ninth year because of these principles. Okay? In the, for our rewards here on earth and rewards in heaven, the principles of diligence, of faithfulness and works. Okay? Give you God our very best when it comes to works, having the right motives. Let us keep it that way. Let us keep working and working. If you are diligent last year, but Nangate, don't go back and you own PIP, even God sends you a PIP. Eh? Performance improvement plan. No, let us not lose our CV. Let us not lose our good commendation. In fact, let us strive to be better and better. Because I've told you, the reward doesn't lie. Mukama. You can teach you. You can cheat your fellow human beings. You can cheat, but God can't be cheated. You cannot cheat God, and he will not cheat you. Glory to God. You know it is his mercy that has even put you on a performance improvement plan. Otherwise, God can mess you up. If you do funny things, God can really mess you up. All right? So let us continue to do these three things in everything that we do, for our rewards here on earth and our rewards in heaven. I felt we should go through this because we have a good report from the Lord that we are actually doing well, that the engine is in great shape, all right? That the tree has to blossom. So what has caused us to come this far? Really, those are the principles that we've talked about this morning. Amen? So let us continue and even do more and more for the rewards on earth and for those in heaven. Amen? Yeah.
Glory be to God. Yes. Hallelujah. It's coming to one, but for a good cause. Glory be to God. Let us do our best. Let us give God our what? Our best. Here at church, at your workplace. Okay, God is also there. At the what? The workplace. Be mulokole. Nafuna mulokole tu swala. There are some people even who say tu swala da. Okay? But you be different. Be a light. Glory be to God. Don't dress well on sand at LAT, then command. Okay, you dress like a prostitute. I tell you, no, sir. John 3:16, where you could tell her, could go in the could glass. Remember what? Remember, glory be to God. Let us be real barokole. Hallelujah. Okay, let us be what? Real barokole. Okay, at home, okay, husbands, Okay, Bruce, Moses, Andrew, let us be what? Let us work at our marriages. Let us work. Let us put in work for our kids. Glory be to God. Okay? At a certain point, I thought Joan was going to tell you something. Anyway, so, yeah, some time ago, you were on Facebook, Instagram, okay? Instagram, I think, is one which has pictures. You know, I've never been there. I don't know it. It is pictures. So there was a girl of a prominent Balokole family, prominent in the country. This family, Mama Netata, Balokole, prominent, okay? But this girl, I think, yeah, she had gotten an opportunity to study like abroad, okay? So this girl, the pictures she had posted of herself on Instagram, okay? She was more or less naked, okay? So Joanne saw it, and she knows the girl and the parents, and Joanne was heartbroken. She was like, how can this be? This girl was raised well. How can she do this? Remember, I think Instagram is public, eh? Like anyone, you know? And she had even the courage, eh, or the stupidity to put the pics on Instagram where the whole world is going to see. Okay? So she was so heartbroken. She said, God, how can this be? Okay, then she said that night she had a dream. She had a dream. And in the dream, she was told that that girl will return to the Lord because a seed was sown in her. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mushikubire mungarejo. Glory be to God. Okay, the Lord, you know, told her she will come back to the Lord. Why? Because a godly seed was sown in her. By who? By the parents. Glory be to God. That's why I'm saying, even at home, okay, let us work. Glory be to God. Let us do work. Work. Last Sunday, I came to church. Eh? Okay, before I came to church, I prayed, remember the anniversary? I pray that God, let everyone who comes today, let them come with one reason, to praise and worship you. Then I also prayed and said, and God, let everything, I said the keyboard, the drums, the guitars, let all of them praise you. That was my only prayer last Sunday's service. I was like, God, all the people who come, the children, the adults, visitors, let them all come to what? Praise and worship you. Let the instruments praise you. Okay? So, I was amazed. Eh? Joanne is the one who led the service. And then she read the psalm. And the psalm was saying, let all the peoples praise you. Let all the string instruments, the what, all of them, let everything that has breath what? Pray. I was so, you know, eh? Yeah. Now, this morning, I prayed to God, okay? I was like, God, yeah, let us come. Let every person who's coming come to praise you, okay? Then I told him, but Father, we're coming to you, our Father, okay? Let us also hear from you, telling us how well we are doing, okay? Not how bad we are doing. You know, I was like, we want to know, we want to hear good things from how well we are doing, okay? And I believe we have heard it. Glory be to God. God is essentially saying we're doing well, and of course, we should improve. Okay, we should what? Up our game. Glory be to God. Saturday morning, that is yesterday morning, I had a dream, and in this dream, I had graduated. Yes, I'd done my master's and I had graduated. I had finished, okay? I had passed and graduated, okay? But somehow, I felt like I didn't do my thesis well, eh? Okay? At the university, I didn't know. So in the dream, I was like, I need to I need to just redo this paper. In my heart, I was like, I haven't done well. Okay, yes, I've passed and I've graduated. But I wanted to be given another opportunity to redo that one. Okay, but I was like, now if I apply for readmission, they'll be like, but you were here last year and you passed and you graduated. So they wouldn't admit me. So I decided, let me call Flora. Okay. So she applies, they admit her, then I can use her things so that I can redo that paper. Then I say that Flora Osam Umwanga. Because, you know, now while I'm in that thing, you're trying to be like, I need to do this paper again. Umwanga, say, put it there. Yes. And so, while I'm somewhere, so I enter a hall, okay? A hall, and I knew my professor was my supervisor, was in there. So I entered this hall, and I don't know what I was going to do there, either to see him or something like that, okay? So when I enter in, I see him seated on the left somewhere, you know? Then on this other side, it was LAT. It was you. Okay? And you had stood up because the service had ended. Okay? The service had ended and you stood up and you are going to walk out because the service had ended. And the dream ended. Hallelujah. So my thinking is that dream meant for all of us, and for me, of course, that there's something. You are finished. Remember, we have just celebrated the anniversary. Okay? There's a work you have finished. All right? And you passed. Glory be to God. We passed. There's no need. There's no, like, to think that, well, maybe we should have done it better or something like that. We passed. Glory be to God. We passed. Where I believe it was, the dream was talking about the church, is because at the end of the dream, you are there. Okay, and remember, the service has what? Ended. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I believe again, you know, and then Joanne is here again, talking about us doing the best for the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This we should encourage us. What we did in the past, God is saying, we passed. Glory be to God. We passed. However, since now we are beginning a new season, okay, like Joanna said, let us do our best for the Lord. Glory be to God. Not only here on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, rather Sunday or whenever you do work for the Lord, okay, but also in your workplace. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And don't forget this. And in your families. Glory be to God. Families. Hallelujah. Husbands, work at your marriages. Because like she has said, okay, you get what you put in. Hallelujah. Yes, if devils, you really believe it is devils who are on your case. Okay, but naye gwe okolachi. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, if it is devils, really, okay, if it is that, yeah, but sometimes they exploit loopholes which you have created. You understand? You're never at home. You come back home at, I don't know, 2. Okay, now what do you expect your wife to do? The devil will exploit that loophole and give her ideas. What she should do because you're absent. Glory be to God. Wives, okay, the same thing. Okay, don't create loopholes for the devil to come in. Because if you chase him, but the loophole is still there, he won't go. Okay? He will just go, okay, out, kumacha, take a cup of tea while you come a neighbor at the kafunda. Okay? Then he comes back. You understand? He will just be what? So don't do that. Glory be to God. Let us work diligently at whatever the Lord has called us to do. Glory be to God. But concerning the 8 years, we passed. Glory be to God. But we can do better. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.